our Green Country Gardener program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries, United Rentals, Kelly Banks Tree Service, Peters True Value Hardware. Sharpen your shovels and let's get outside. Oh, let's see. Sharp shovel, check. Sunscreen, check. Call Larry. Larry! Check. Welcome to our Green Country Gardener program. Larry Glass with us. I'm Tom Davis. Your phone call is always welcome here at 1-800-749-5936.
Hey, great. The weather's clearing up.
Yes.
I can finally get to my schedule I was supposed to get to by March.
Yeah.
After it's Rainmageddon. Jeez, guy, come on.
Well, now we flipped the switch to Sunmageddon.
I got overheated yesterday.
No.
Oh, yes. It's terrible. But anyway, you'll get used to it.
You got a week in 90s coming up here, followed by two months of 90s.
We'll have to get used to it, yeah. Who turned off the water anyway?
Kevin.
Kevin did.
He was getting marshy out there feeding his cats.
Well, anyway, summer's right about coming right around the corner, I can tell, because the daylilies are starting to bloom.
Ah, yes.
That's usually the bringer-honor of summer. Mm-hmm. It's the opening of the daylilies. Anyway, so, if you have some daylilies, they should be in bloom. Mine are starting to bloom in the backyard. So, so cool, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, remove those yellow leaves from the tomatoes. If you have tomatoes with yellow leaves on them, that's usually what happens when they grow up. They lose some of the lower leaves. Mm-hmm. You just want to pull those off. And you want to watch the suckers on your tomatoes. Don't get too many suckers.
Yeah.
And then it should grow real well. Those of you who really know how to grow tomatoes, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
tomato masters.
Yeah. Anyway, it's still time to plant annuals. We have a great selection of annuals at the nursery, and still a good time to do decorative pots. So, really, most of your annuals are tropical plants, like your periwinkles, your celosias, and et cetera, petunias. They're typically tropical in mm-hmm. nature, and they like this warm, sunny weather. Mm-hmm. Good time to plant. And so, we could use a little bit of rain. But everything is, the lakes are okay, so if you need the water, don't worry about it. We're not going to run out at least the next 2-3 days.
There you go.
It's probably time to get the sprinkler system cranked up, too. We've done a few of those this week and weeks previous. Got people's sprinkler systems charged up and ready to go for the summer. So if you haven't done that, you might consider doing that. It's a good time. Also, all the irrigation people are busy making repairs to freeze damage. But I haven't had to do that any of ours.
Good.
La-di-da.
La-di-da.
Yeah, really. None of our sprinkler systems have had any freeze damage whatsoever.
Had a lot to do with going into it with a little bit of care, skill, and preparation, huh?
You got to plan. You know, sprinkler systems are expensive. You have to plan for the inevitable.
Yeah, you do.
And you have to think a few zones north when it comes to cold possibilities, because mm-hmm. it happens here, and it did. So you just engineer them properly. That's mm-hmm. all there is to it. So,
and some prevention.
So anyway, we do that. I've got one or two irrigation systems on the drawing board right now. So we're going to get into that pretty soon too. So, okay, cool. Anyway, at the nursery, you can container and bald and burlap trees can be planted any time. Mm-hmm. We planted a bunch of trees this week as usual. You just don't want to move them. Hostas are showing their leaves and are beginning to bloom right now. The hostas should be putting on some flowers at this point, too. The endless summer hydrangeas are starting mm-hmm. to bloom at the nursery, too. The encore azaleas, the re-blooming azaleas, are starting to show a little bit of color here and there. Some of them didn't make it very well this last winter. Even the hardy azaleas didn't do very well this last winter. Mm-hmm. So they're starting to show a few buds, flower buds here and there. The cone flowers beginning to go. I know the ones out in the wild are blooming right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the cone flowers, domesticated ones, are starting to bloom in people's yards too. So here comes summer, huh? Those are the mm-hmm. first signs right there, huh? Hardy hibiscus are growing actively, are very aggressively. They're not exhibiting blooms yet. They're not differentiating yet. But somebody at the door. Anyway, usually they begin to differentiate and bloom at the summer solstice. So they'll be over there pretty soon, too.
All right.
We have Well, anyway, at the nursery, we've got all kinds of stuff still at the nursery. Lots of color for sale.
Lots of color.
And we've sold a lot of annuals this week.
Things are blooming.
People are finally able to get out and not slip and slide in their mud and actually get some work done in the yard. So, so they're out there buying all kinds of stuff.
Folks were mowing the yard between the raindrops for a while there, Larry.
I know.
You know, like, hey, I got 20 minutes. I can do the front yard.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and we're building retaining walls and stuff like that.
You are.
The landscape is, yeah.
It's a busy biz.
We're very busy, yes. A lot of stuff going on. Yeah. And we've cranked up some irrigation systems and found some problems here and there.
Yeah.
So, not with ours, though.
No. With others.
No, we're still absolutely 100% batting 1,000 on our systems as far as freeze damage.
That's great. That is really tremendous.
So anyway, irrigation systems, it's something that people are going to be interested in pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And you want to get them that are as efficient as possible.
Uh-huh.
And efficient meaning the installation has to meet the specifications mm-hmm. of the equipment. In other words, they have certain distances and mm-hmm. so on. They have to put them apart and so on. And there's different nozzle configurations and different rates of precipitation. You have to consider the soil type also when you install a nozzle on a sprinkler head.
There's a lot of science and math going on
there. There is a little bit, too. And we do have some areas where the soil is kind of heavy clay. And in that case, you'd use a sprinkler nozzle on, a rotary head.
Mm-hmm.
It goes about 30 feet out. That has a smaller diameter on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will administer water at a rate which the soil can absorb.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of sprinkler systems running wide open throttle, big old 4.0 nozzles on them, water just running down the gutter. God, people, come on.
You're watering the street again.
Wasting all that water. That's just not the way to do it. So you want to tailor it to your conditions.
There you go.
If you do have some slope, use a slow rate of precipitation so the water doesn't run off.
No, it runs in, soaks in, it absorbs.
Got to soak in. If you do have a steep slope and low rate of precip, use a low precip head and then cycle them two or three times in a day rather than all at once to get the absorption so it can absorb into the ground rather than go back to the river. Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of it with sprinklers. And I really like the Wi-Fi enabled sprinkler timers.
Mm-hmm. Those work out pretty well, don't they?
Yeah. You can go all the way around your yard with your phone and punch a button and the sprinklers turn on. That's so cool. And you don't have to go in and out of a garage, back and forth, back, you know. We were doing we were doing some repairs on the system, and I had to walk about 500 feet to turn it on, walk to find the problem with the thing, go walk another 500 feet back, turn off the timer, come back out, fix it. Go back out to the timer. You put a half mile in just adjusting.
You got your steps done on this just that one yard, didn't you?
Yeah, really. So what I liked about the Wi-Fi, you just push the button. Oh, there it is. And then do your adjustments and click.
There you go.
Turn it off and on, and just really, really handy. We did a system like that in Osage, big estate, if you will, a whole lot of surface area.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it so much easier to make adjustments if you can control it remotely rather than having to run back and forth to the pump house way up the hill. You got a caller?
Yes, let's go to the phones. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Hi, yeah. Every year this time of year, my husband is always asking about mulberry trees, and he said he would always like to plant one. And I was just wondering if you had any tips or suggestions for that.
Well, I would probably invest in a chainsaw if I find a mulberry tree. Mulberry trees.
Oh, we've got one of those.
They'll do fine away from the house.
Yes.
And away from any plumbing or anything like that because they have a root system that's kind of shallow. And they're a little messy. And they're a little on the messy side, too.
Right.
So that's
well, we've got kind of a rural property that's partially wooded, so I think we could find a spot for it.
The mulberry tree in a rural situation where you want to do some afforestation would be a good entry-level tree to put in there. You might want to mix in some oaks or something with it. And the mulberries would be a good anchor plant, and they'll establish that climate, the microclimate necessary for some of the other plants.
Oh, okay. Timing? What? When would we want to put something like that in the ground?
Well, whenever you get the shovel out of the shed, it'd be a good time to plant one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Finding them, though, is difficult. They're not commonly grown in the nursery field.
Oh, okay.
So it might take a little while to get one or two of them.
My neighbor's got one you can have. He doesn't know it yet.
That's what I said. I said, I bet somebody's probably willing to get rid of one. But
you can have one we tore out last week. But yeah, keep them away from any kind of plumbing or structures or concrete like that. And they'll do fine in a situation where you want to have a more stable ground. They're very good at stabilizing the ground because of their kind of shallow root system and so on.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information. I'll pass it along.
All right. Thank you for
anytime. Thank you very much for your call. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more of Larry and the Green Country Gardener program here in just a moment after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. We have a lot of tree trimmers. They'll come in on Friday evening. You can get a towable boom, pull it behind the half-ton pickup, go home, trim your trees, paint your house, clean your gutters. You can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, 1-day charge. It's a great deal at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road, United Reynolds.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
When you're hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has 5 locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant.
It's time to get back to our gardening. It's 8:21 and our phone lines are open here with the Green Country Garden Program at 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we were talking about mulberry trees and trees in general with that phone call there. And once again, shallow roots, keep it away from the house. Keep it away from the pond.
There are some tree species you might want, fairly close to the house, and some you don't.
Not when you don't, no.
You need to know the root structure of these trees, too, mm-hmm. before you get it too close to the patio. So if you do want a tree fairly close to the patio or something, you might want to go with, a Chinese pistache,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Their root system is very deep and very not obnoxious like that. So,
and it looks good in your yard.
Yeah. No, I've got one.
You got one.
I dug up and planted, and it's a beautiful tree.
It is.
But anyway. So, just a good idea, 10 to 15 feet at the closest to concrete for a tree. Yeah. Or to a house, too. When we first moved into town, we rented a house over in Woodland Park. And there's a river birch 6 feet from the house. I go, what? And we had a storm and it kind of broke up. Made a mess of everything, but nonetheless.
Oh, darn.
So there are just some species that you're... And trees just generally 10, 15 feet 10, 15, even 20 feet away from the house at the closest. Mm-hmm. They get pretty good size. Trees do.
Yeah, they do.
Mulberry trees get big, too. And oak trees get giant things. So you want to keep them away from the house. So anyway, that leads us into Tree of the Week, which is the Green Giant Arborvitae.
Ooh.
Some people, well, maybe that's a big shrub. Well, actually, it gets to be a pretty good-sized tree. Anyway,
I told you,
it makes a really great, tall, bulky screen.
Good.
Yeah, so the neighbor with the old junk cars in the backyard, you can use this to screen that off.
How much do you want, Larry? I'll take a dozen.
This one will make a really great, tall, big, tall, bulky screen. So give it some room. Okay. You need about a 10-foot, 10 to 15-foot span, devoted to screening. Uh-huh. For these to really do well. They're not little skinny little things. They're big ones. So they 30 to 40 feet tall or so, fast grower. Typically think of them about 30 feet or so in the landscape. Mm-hmm. They get pretty good size. Uh-huh. They're hardy way up north, so they didn't get affected by this polar ice thing we had this last...
The polar vortex.
Yeah, the polar vortex. It didn't affect them at all, so they did very well. They're native to areas with dry limestone soils, so they... Where do we live? Might as well be on Crete here sometimes with the limestone we have here and there. So it does very well in our soil, and it's very adaptable to any landscape culture and full sun, well-drained soil. It can also be used for specimen interest, too. Mm-hmm. Just a rather robust-looking, upright-growing...
It'll get your attention.
Works rather well. It does grow fairly quickly, and it'd be a kind of a medium-sized plant in the landscape. And actually, the foliage, to me, looks more like a redwood tree rather than an arborvitae. Arborvitae leaves typically are arranged in vertical planes, mm-hmm. where kind of like radiator fins. And this one over here doesn't have that organized branching structure. It's a very interesting-looking plant. So Green Giant Arborvitae, you want something... with some screening possibilities, mm-hmm. Does very well. It does like full open sun, mm-hmm. and a well-drained situation. Mm-hmm. And we've had very few of these get killed off by the cold. We have experienced a little bit of borer problems with them, mm-hmm. not much, but just a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
And so just the jury's out on how much that's going to really negatively affect the plant. But a imidacloprid will take care of that typically. So. But anyway, you might consider that as either a specimen plant or maybe just to soften a view. There's a view out back that's just, mm-hmm. it's not that bad, but I just need to do something to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll more define the space around your house as yours rather than bleed out so much like that. So it doesn't have to be a consolidated screen in every case,
mm-hmm.
But this one makes a good one. There are other arborvitaes. The emerald arborvitae is another one. It's smaller, narrower. And you plant just more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a problem back when the temperature was 115 degrees that one year. On the emeralds,
mm-hmm.
the sap inside of it has apparently a low boiling point or something, and it basically just boiled.
Ooh!
And that year, the roof of my house melted too. That year, I had to re-roof my house after that hot spell.
Yeah, I'm thinking I remember that year. I think it was the year my daughter got married. Outside.
112
degrees. Gee. One of my daughters.
Oh, good golly. Well, anyway, I bet the punch bowl was empty after that.
Oh, man.
So, nonetheless. So, anyway, consider that for some screening, the Green Giant arborvitae. I like to associate it with maybe some trees, mm-hmm. in front of it, say some red buds that'll give you some flowering interest with, mm-hmm. that dark background to make a really attractive, mm-hmm. Multi-level screen.
Yep.
And the Forsythia does nice with it too, if you've got the room for that. It's a screen plant, so it makes a good backdrop for things that bloom too.
Good.
So anyway, that leads us to our shrub of the week. It's one that people really, really like. Mm-hmm. Has these big giant blooms on them, some of them do, mm-hmm. called the hydrangea. And the first thing I have on here is plant the hydrangea in good soil.
Good luck.
Good, at least out northeast Oklahoma. But.
But if you work the dirt just right.
Right.
And constantly.
And my lace cap is blooming now for the third time in 16 years. Ooh. 18 years now, yeah. It's blooming.
Wow.
But we're having a big celebration. The lace caps in bloom. Anyway, you want to, I use a mixture of three parts soil, two parts compost, one part peat moss generally. And you do, see how wide this is? It's about, 5 feet around? Mm-hmm. The bigger the preparation area you do for your hydrangeas, the better they're going to be. The more showy, the more color they're going to have. The root system on it is kind of wimpy. It really doesn't venture into the hard clay very well. Mm-hmm. It feels more comfortable just constrained into this clay soil rather than spread out. Right. So it doesn't have a very aggressive root system. So you do need to sort of invite it out mm-hmm. for it to grow. And also use a significant amount of mulch. They don't like hot feet. And just dry this wet, dry the wet the way our weather goes here and everything mm-hmm. is wet 1 week or 3 months. And then it's dry for 3 months. They like a more consistent moisture, a more constant availability of moisture for them to really do well. So preparation is 9/10 of the law on this one. So you want to make sure you do a good preparation. And also, if you can arrange irrigation, maybe even a drip system around that. Mm-hmm. Irrigation drip system, that will help them all too.
Good.
They do not like drought very well. It does like a good dose of morning sun, but not the sun between, say, 11 and, say, 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. They really don't like that hot sun at all.
No, not at
so,
all.
So you tend to get these crinkled up leaves and no flowers when you do that. So anyway, hydrangea, there's several variations in the hydrangea. One of my favorites is the oak leaf hydrangea.
Okay.
And the oak leaf hydrangeas are putting on a really nice show this time, this year. And the oak leaves will tolerate a fair amount of sun, mm-hmm. but not that hot midday sun. So if say, for instance, you have an oak tree or something and you get morning sun and then you got afternoon sun and it's shielded in the middle, that'll be a good situation mm-hmm. for an oak leaf hydrangea. You don't have to be as picky with the soil preparation with an oak leaf as you, say, do the big PG hydrangeas. Mm-hmm. That's what we call it, P-E-G-E-E. PG hydrangeas refer to the ones with the big blue and pink flowers on them. Mm-hmm. The oak leaf is not as picky as they are. So oak leaf is available in just a white one, and there's one called Ruby Slippers.
Hello, Ruby.
Ruby Slippers, yeah. It's a pink blooming
gotcha.
Oak leaf hydrangea. Uh-huh. I don't find the ruby slippers to be as hardy and aggressive as the regular white oak leaf hydrangea. But it does give you some flower color other than white. So that's that one. And then there's some several other variations in hydrangeas, too. There's one called the Bobo hydrangea. It has pure white flowers on it.
Oh, nice.
And it blooms for a long period of time in the summertime. And it takes about 2 years for it to really get established enough to where it'll put on a show. So it has to develop a root system to feed all those flowers on it. So you might, in the background or somewhere, you might consider a Bobo hydrangea. And I find that those will take sun a lot better, too, than the regular hydrangeas, too. So the Bobo might work very well in a situation where you have more sun than you might want to have. But you want some summer blooms in a shrub that's not too big.
Got it. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to have more right here with the Green Country Gardening Program in just a moment. Plus your calls at 1-800-749-5936 after this 2-minute timeout.
Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence says,
we'll buy your vehicle for top dollar in only 5 minutes.
That's right. Roman's is your elite buying center for Southeast Kansas.
Roman's pays more than any other dealership.
Plus,
Roman's will buy your used car even if you buy your next one elsewhere. They'll buy it over the phone in 5 minutes.
Your elite buying center is Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
Check out June's monthly bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Get your yard in shape to resist heat and drought with Scott's Turf Builder Southern Lawn Food. A bag to cover 5,000 feet is just $15.99 at the register after a $2 in-store instant rebate. Keep your garden weed-free with a 13-pound bag of Preen Garden Weed Preventer for $16.99 after a $3 instant in-store rebate. And Peter's has a True Temper 6-cubic-foot steel wheelbarrow for heavy projects for $79.99, a savings of $20, but only at Peter's True Value. You and Dewey.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. It is 8:34. Phone lines are open. You can talk to Larry at 1-800-749-5936. Lawrence, where were we?
We were talking a little bit about hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas.
And as the first three letters of the word in fly, H-Y-D. Mm-hmm. And they need a bit of water.
Yeah, they need a little H2O.
Exactly. That's why I say to put a lot of mulch on them, just so the moisture level stays more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like dry and then wet. And then dry, and it's just not...
They don't do extremes very well, do they?
No, and and this basically explains our climate here, just extreme.
Yeah, that's about it.
There's nothing moderate about the weather here.
No!
So if you want some, and we've got quite a few. We sell an awful lot of hydrangeas, too. Just, you got to put a little bit of back work into it. And really get that ground prepped up nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And get your drainage just right and all that. And a lot of mulch. And they'll do just fine. Once mm-hmm. you get the initial work out of there, they'll be the... And there are some in town that are just absolute showplaces. People's hydrangeas. Beautiful mm-hmm. things. And they went forth with the effort.
Mm-hmm.
You got these big, healthy plants with these just giant leaves on them that are real healthy looking and lots of blooms. So that's just what it takes, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that leads us to our annual of the week, golly, yep. Which is a salvia. Yeah, annual salvia is a tender tropical perennial. I say tropical perennial, it's just perennial in a tropical climate, but not in our climate here. But we do have some perennial salvias, too, the blue ones. But the annual salvias, as we call them, they bloom more consistently all summer long, really, whereas the perennials tend to bloom at a certain time. Anyway, they're a good warm weather bedding plant. It has long been a garden standard, reliably blooming over an extended period of time, actually. And even more varieties are being developed. They're giving a wide range of color, including white, salmon, purple, and traditional bright red, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And different shapes, too. But the common denominator in the salvias are the square stems.
Stems
are square.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like a 4x4 board. I'll leave it up. But anyway, so if you really have any doubt as to what species of plant it is that has a spiky bloom on it, look at the stem closely. And if it has a square stem, it is a member of the mint family, of which salvia is a member.
Mm-hmm.
So it does very well. Culture, it's native to Brazil, no doubt. And we use it here as a summer warm weather annual. Culture plant in an average or enriched soil and some fertilizer is needed. And over a long season, the flowers will drop. They'll put on more flowers and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, when this happens, just cut it back a little bit and it'll put on some more. So you have to kind of prune them a little bit to keep the appearance up.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of work involved. It's not one of those plant it and forget it kind of things.
Nope.
So anyway, they like full sun to partial shade, especially in the afternoon. Maybe a little bit of shade in the afternoon, maybe to reduce a little bit of stress. But with the way the weather has been in the past, the root systems have not developed very well on these plants. So they'll take a little while to catch up to this warm weather. So if you planted some salvias and they're looking just a little bit punky right now, they'll all of a sudden just pop out because the root system is developing
mm-hmm.
as it warmed up and gets some more sunshine and a little drier weather. Average to slightly dry moisture, well-drained soil, what else is new? Larger varieties with deeper roots need less water than dwarf varieties. Because they're a bigger plant, they can absorb more moisture.
There you go.
So, yeah, they need more water. The little ones do. So, Scarlet Sage is able to withstand urban conditions and still look very attractive. So, just use them for color. I like the, back when we were kids, we'd plant the red salvia in the background
mm-hmm.
and red and white petunias in the front foreground. Made a really nice show in the garden, the tall spiky plants with the mm-hmm. petunias in front. And We did that as a family every year when I was growing up in suburban Chicago.
In suburban Chicago.
Yeah. So that was quite a deal. So anyway, go ahead and plant some salvias with your annual flowers for some flowers up here, up tall, and maybe other flowers down below.
There you go. Okay. That's a nice composition.
They are prolific and durable bloomers. They are not bothered by very many pests. So the hummingbirds don't like them that well, but butterflies kind of like them a little bit too. So they do attract some hummingbirds and things. We got a lot of hummingbirds in our backyard.
We've had those, yes.
Yes, lots of them.
Hard little workers, aren't they?
You bet. They work real hard, yeah. They like the waterfall too. I have this tiny, tiny little waterfall that you can reach around. It's that small. And just water just goes through it, and the birds really like it.
Like playing in it, huh?
Yeah, it drives the cat crazy, too.
All is good.
Anyway, that leads us up to the hardy hibiscus, which is the rose mallow. It has really the largest flowers amongst any perennial, really. These flowers can be a pretty good size, too. And some of the hybrids may be a foot across in diameter, perhaps.
Wow.
Really, yes. Rich, moist soil. And full sun bring the most vigorous growth. They can tolerate a wide variety of things. I've seen them growing out in the wild. They escape, you know, the birds and stuff carry them away. Then they growing out in the wild.
Birds do.
So yeah, they do. So they can tolerate a wide variety of conditions. Now this is a Native American plant. Mm-hmm. So it grows around here, and it's typically been indigenous to wet areas. Mm-hmm. That's where it kind of originated. And then that's a cool plant. Let's try this out and hybridize it. And they got these things with these giant blooms on them. They're really nice. We sell a variety that has red leaves with a red flower on it. And they start to bloom about the same time the crepe myrtles do. So it should be very shortly when they start to do that. We'll talk about crepe myrtles a little bit later. But anyway, I'd like to use it in a situation where maybe your roses have had an issue with the rosette's disease. You try them, they die. These work very well in full open sun. And they're really quite a reliable perennial, too. I find this freeze didn't affect them whatsoever. You would think, hibiscus, it's going to be dead. But no, they came up just fine.
Oh, my.
And they emerge late every year, too, when they come out. It might be the middle of May sometime before they come out. But, golly, in about 10 minutes, they're this tall.
Hello, right there to the knee of the sun.
They grow and develop.
Wow, where'd that come from?
Really, they grow and develop very quickly. So, and they're very hardy. They don't seem to be bothered very much by insects, too. Hmm. Bugs don't really like them that much, so they don't bother them.
A blessed plant.
Exactly. So. Now, we tried one out in western Oklahoma, out on the farm, and it got eaten up by grasshoppers. I guess that was the only thing left.
Not too much green after.
So maybe if you have a lot of grasshoppers, they might nibble on them a little bit. But I haven't seen too much of a problem like that around here.
Oh,
but the hardy hibiscus, put it somewhere where as a good strong punctuation mark in the landscape or in the backdrop for them also. We have a variety that has some red leaves on it, which gives you some leaf color as well. So pretty cool plant.
Super dupe. Mm-hmm. We're going to take another break. It's 8:42. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout with the Green Country Gardener Program after this 2-minute timeout.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
At Tate Boyce Tire and Service, we know what really drives Dad. That's why we're throwing Dad a special Father's Day tent sale June 16th through the 19th. Come save big with buy two tires, get two free on major brands like Goodyear, Bridgestone, and Kumho. Plus, don't miss out on our two grand prize drawings where you can enter to win a Blackstone grill or a set of tires worth $1,000. Father's Day is a great day to save big at Tate Boyce Tire and Service. Learn more at TateBoyce.com.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CB's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
We're back with the Green Country Gardener Program, 844. And, of course, your phone lines are open. You can ask Larry a question, our resident expert, at 1-800-749-5936. Larry.
Yeah, we were talking about the hardy hibiscus and the tropical hibiscus.
Oh, yeah.
They're actually related. And as they're related also to cotton and stuff like that. So, kind of cool. And Rosa Sharon, to the Rosa Sharon shrub also is a hibiscus.
I did not know that.
Its genus is Hibiscus and Syriacus. It's a species.
Well, there you go.
That's the Rosa Sharon. And they're beginning to bloom right now also.
They are.
Typically, they bloom just a little bit before the crepe myrtles. And that's one thing we can talk about. It's real big on people's mind right now. My crepe myrtles. What do I do?
Where are they going to live?
I tied all the way to the ground, and now look, it's this bush again. You know, it's real small. What do you do about it? I said, just cut all the dead stuff off the top. And then let it grow throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. You let it. The good thing about it being killed off by that and coming up is you'll be able to actually see the flowers. They won't be
way the heck up there in the air. Yeah,
they'll be more or less at eye level, a little bit below this year. And then let it go ahead and grow and develop. Don't try to prune it up or anything. Or at this point of the year, just let it be a nice, happy thing all
just,
summer.
Just
long.
Let it crepe.
Yeah, I guess so. And then just let it grow to its heart's content this summer. Then, in the wintertime, you'll be able to see the branching structure, what's there now. And it'll be time to thin it out a little bit at that point in time and let it go back to a tree-form crepe myrtle. Just in time for it to get 12 feet tall and have another freeze and kick it back again.
Got it.
But at this particular latitude, crepe myrtles typically are grown as shrubs. And the tree form crepe myrtle is kind of the exception to the rule up here. However, we have had a lot of winters in the past where it's been relatively mild, and we haven't had that problem with it. We did have a zinger way back when it got 28 below zero for a little bit. It did the same thing. It set them all back, and they all came back. Now here we go again. So it seems like it's every 10 years or so we have a cold spell. So I guess you can just kind of let them go, and then 10 years later, be prepared to do it again.
I was warned by Bartlesville Mayor Dale Copeland about things like that.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, it can be 20 below one day, and give it a day or two, it'll be 70.
Yeah, I know. That's the way it works.
About 10 years ago, I guess it was, right after the zinger. It's like, hey, what's this?
Now, in going to people's houses and looking at their crepe myrtles, the amount of recovery or the amount of dieback is directly correspondent to the quantity of mulch on the ground.
Okay.
So what really wipes plants out when it gets really cold is the lack of moisture, primarily, and the ground. If the ground temperature is warm, those that were in an area where there was a lot of mulch seem to have done a lot better. And they're coming back a little bit taller than the others. So I was at a house, we planted some 2 years ago, and some of them were completely dead, and some of them were coming up, and the ones that were completely dead was coincident with the lack of mulch.
Ah,
so,
there you go.
We got a caller?
I do believe so. Good morning. Hi, you're on with Larry on the Green Country Gardener Program.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Hey!
Is this Kevin?
That's it.
Oh, golly, okay.
Let me tell you something. I'm not sure about that mulch thing, because my crepe myrtles, I put 2 feet of mulch next to it.
Uh-huh.
It still killed 90% of them off the tops. I got one or two it's coming back up to the top.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The mulch works well. You lose 90%, but it's coming back from the ground, right?
Yeah, they're coming back.
Coming back, so yeah. So
just ate. Just cut that dead wood off. Huh?
Cut the dead wood off. That's what all that black smoke was
saw,
coming
get
up.
Get the chainsaws out and start cutting.
16-cylinder chainsaw.
Yeah, that's what all that black smoke was down there. You're cutting, yeah. cutting your crepe myrtles back. Yeah.
The other thing, Larry, all these hollies, all my hollies, they're coming out in just places.
Right.
So, especially the dwarf yaupon, and then, you know, the pencil, is it pencil holly?
Right, sky pencil,
Yeah, those just, they're having a hard time.
Yeah, some people did, some people didn't. It just depends. Now, you're sitting kind of low right there, so you were probably a little bit colder than somebody, say, over in Sooner Park. So you might have been just a little bit cooler. And when you get a temperature thing like we had this last winter, the colder it gets, the more critical it gets on these plants.
Yeah.
Well, you go out in some parts of Osage County, there's acres of just dead trees, too. I don't know if you've been out there recently, but west of town, there's some parts of it are just bad.
It didn't kill a single blackjack, I'm telling you. Not a single. But I don't know. I don't know if you wait all summer or you start replacing now, or you just wait till fall.
At this point in time, you need on your dwarf yaupons, you should have some recovery on them. And a lot of times they can just be cut back real heavily and they'll snap out of it again. Give them some good old fertilizer and they'll come out just fine.
They will?
Yeah. I don't know of anybody who's completely lost their dwarf yaupon hollies.
Okay.
Maybe except you.
Except me.
Except you. But anyway.
Gosh. But those pencils, I've got three of them, and they're just not coming out all over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
do you trim them back, or do you just go ahead and...
Well,
leave them alone.
You just kind of have to look at the branches on them individually and see how they're recovering.
I know, but if you trim those back, will it grow back
it
was, or?
Yeah, they should grow back. They're genetically programmed to grow vertically like that. So, yeah, they'll come back like that.
They've been computer programmed?
Well, the genetics. It's just...
I see.
Yeah, some people grow tall, some people don't. So,
well, that's true.
That's just the way it is.
Just take a look at this room.
Now, my Chinese hollies up at the gate, they're just now coming out.
Yeah.
And I cut them way back,
Yeah. Yeah, some of the hollies took a real bad hit, too. The funny thing is, though, the some of the Nellie R. Stevens holly, I would suspect they would get really wiped out on this. Some of them came through unscathed.
Hmm.
You know, the Zinger in 11, I had a Nellie Stevens holly. It got cut by, it just really got zapped.
Yeah.
And it's they're fine.
Yeah, they didn't suffer too
and
much.
And my live oaks, I'm just shocked that, now, in the very, very tops, you can see they haven't come out up there yet. The very little top.
Yeah. Well, those live oaks, you have them so afraid of your big chainsaw that, no, we're not going to die. No, no.
We're
going to
stay
alive. I don't like that big chainsaw he's got.
Anyway, it's kind of an interesting year.
It was. I know of some crepe myrtles that are absolutely unaffected. And some of them are just... all the way to the ground. It's just just that level of coldness.
Did you know I had some dwarf, the crepe myrtles that are the short ones.
Yeah, the dwarf crepe myrtles, yes.
They, two of them right next to each other. Two died, two lived.
Yeah. Yeah, when you get to a point where you know, it's like going down a road. You go this way or you go that way?
Yep.
At the fork, you go left to the fork. That's kind of where they were, and some of them just didn't do that well.
So anyway, I didn't know if these yopons and these other hollies will eventually come out of it. They'll wake up.
Yeah, they should be showing some signs of growth easily by now. If they're not showing any signs of growth at all, they're just totally dead, then you might consider getting some new ones.
Is it better to do it in the fall, or are we getting too much in?
I do it as soon as possible to get the root system developed and get it established.
Yep.
And what I do, my dwarf yopons weren't even affected. Of course, they're on the west side of the house too. That has something to do with it. But I give them that iron every year. Lots of iron. They just love it.
They do?
Uh huh.
You throw nails down, or do you buy?
I don't want to kill them. No.
Well, no, the nails that gives them iron too.
You throw nails at your plant. I know that it takes a while for that iron to be available. You need some sort of chelated iron for them to do well.
Okay.
And that'll darken the color and make them hardier. Boxwoods can benefit a lot from that, too. I see some really sick boxwoods. And
well, if they're that sick, then give them some medical marijuana. Oops. Get the medical kind, and it'll be fine.
I don't know about that.
Keep them happy.
Usually some good old FESO4 will fix that yellowness in the leaves. Iron sulfate. Or chelated iron will work too, but I like the iron sulfate.
I've got one boxwood that looks kind of yellow.
Yeah, well, yet smell it too, and if it smells real, real kind of nasty, you might have mites on. I've got mites on some of my boxwoods, and I need to. I use neem oil on them. That tends to get rid of them pretty good.
That neem oil stinks too.
I guess so, but it's very safe to use. It won't mess up your hummingbirds and things.
All right, that's it, Larry.
All right, Kevin, good to hear from you.
All right.
Well, we've got lots of moisture in the ground, I want you to know.
Yeah, now you guys need to conjure up a little bit of rain by the end of the week, just so we don't get too dry.
Well, we'll be fine here.
All right, thanks for calling.
Take care. We'll have more in a little bit right after this 2-minute, 5-second timeout.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935 he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle, and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Willow Rock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
It's June,
and it's getting hot.
But in Bartlesville, CDJR,
the deals are even hotter.
A 2021 Dodge Charger,
financing for
0% APR.
2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee,
financing for
0% APR.
2021 Ram 1500,
financing for
0% APR.
Or a 2021 Dodge Challenger,
financing for
0% APR.
Bartlesville, CDJR,
0% APR financing day.
You pick it out, and we'll work it out.
All Alrighty, it's 8:58. A little bit of time left here in the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry, what we got chicken?
It's time to plant okra in the vegetable garden. And you can still plant some beans right now.
Yeah.
So a little drier, maybe they'll grow instead of rot. And in your lawn, should be doing just fine. I see a lot of really nice-looking lawns. I see some crabgrass.
Oh, yeah, there's some of that.
Crabgrass coming up. And typically the remedy, the post-emergent remedy for that is something you need to do real soon if you don't want any crabgrass.
What's that?
Because once the crabgrass gets mature, it's very difficult to control. There's a product called a quinclorac, or Q. It's easier to say Q than quinclorac, but anyway, that'll do a very good job to control the weeds, the crabgrass, or get rid of it before it gets out of hand. It will make your grass a little bit sick, so make sure the fertility levels are real up, really good on your Bermuda grass or whatever before you put it on there. And you really can't use quinclorac with fescue this time of year. It'll kind of wipe it out. So anyway, keep that lawn real well fertilized and make sure you get about an inch of water per week and should do just fine.
Well,
come by the nursery. Check us out. We got all kinds of cool stuff. Anything from wind chimes to hardy hibiscus to petunias to you name it. Shrubs and things and trees. So check it out at the nursery and see what we got. We get new stuff in all the time. We just got a new shipment of some shrubs. So shrubs are getting a little difficult to get now and then. But we're getting them in as best we can. And keeping everybody happy with the new shrubs. So, golly, it's been quite a busy time this spring, too. We've had trying to get caught up after all the rain. And by all means, keep your shovel sharp, too. We will see you next week.
All right, Larry, thank you very much. Appreciate it. As always, take it easy out there in the sun. Son.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KW.